Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Glory.
I'm able to plant my feet on solid ground. That's why when me and Apostle Smith as leaders, we create crisis for
our Amen.
We as the head apostles, the founders, we create storm for the leaders in training for our ministry. We want to know, what's your initial reaction? Do you panic? Do you become hateful? Do you become complaining? How do you respond in the midst of crisis? As people tell us what happened in their own personal life, my first question is, so how did you respond? Mm-hmm. Well, I ran out the house and I realized I didn't even have my shoes on. You know, those type of indicators tell me that you are in the moment. I need somebody if you're going to work close to me. Now, how you respond is how you respond. Hey, that's you. But I'm talking about if you're responding in that type of way and then you think you can work close to me, I can't allow it. I can't allow franticness and insobriety to be next to me, because your franticness, your anxiousness, your intoxication will actually create destruction around me. And I'm working too hard to keep peace and put things together for you to come in and be like a wrecking ball and knock it all down. You can't work close to me. I'm sorry. Until you work with you and learn how to maintain your cool, you're somebody that has a tribulation. Soon as things hit, I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. My ministry ain't really going the way I thought it would. I thought I would be a millionaire by now. I thought that I would be on PDJ's platform by now. I thought as soon as I developed my own prayer line, it was on my own television, on Periscope World. I mean, all of this. We've dealt with them all. And because it didn't go like they thought, they go into depression.
Amen.
Then that lets me know, okay, intoxicated. Sometimes you can become intoxicated with your own sorrow. I can't have somebody like that, because if you're going to be next to me and if you call yourself truly just a real leader, you're going to always have something that's going to disappoint you. Something always is not going to work out like you think. Something always is not going to come together. So how do you handle it? The first reaction for when something doesn't come through, you go into a corner and ball up and cry and give up on the world, you're a punk, and I can't have you next to me.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
My husband is too strong. God has sent us to hell and back to get us this strong. We're not strong on our own. It isn't because I take vitamins every day. I do, but it's not the reason why I'm strong. The reason why I'm strong is because I yielded my soul, my vessel. My husband and I, we yielded our heart, and we said, God, take us through the fire. See, some of you all, what's so horrible about it is we're so quick to say, Lord, take me through the fire. Make me pure as gold. I want to be molded and made by you. You're the potter, God. We're so quick to pray and cry and in the moment and call it emotionalism. But when God, as soon as he don't even put you in the fire yet. He's just holding you over the fire before he dips you in. You can't even take the heat. And you're not ready to go back and start smoking. You're ready to go back and start cussing people out. You're ready to go back and give up and give your body and sell your body out to whoredom. You're ready to go out and just give up on ministry at all. You're just ready to give up. God said, I didn't even put you in there. You can't even take the heat.
Yes.
And then you want to call yourself, you called to the nation. You ain't called to nothing but to sit down. God did that call weakling. So he has to take you through everything. That's why I say, and I'm so easy, my husband and I were so easy to talk to, doing prophetic coaching calls. We don't let anything. Some of you all have had very personal conversations with me. There's nothing off the table. We'll talk to you about homosexuality. We'll talk to you about adultery. We'll talk to you about being a mistress. We'll talk to you about being a homewrecker. We'll talk to you about drug addiction. We'll talk to you about your love life. We'll talk to you about everything, masturbation, whatever it is. You know why? Because God has tempted us with everything. We know what it's like not to have food. We know what it's like not to pay your bills. We know what it's like to have people lie to your face. When you know that they're holding a dagger in your back, we've had people, our own members, trying to have a fight with us. All types of stupid stuff.
My God.
We know what it's like to have people who cry and hold you and say, I'll never leave you. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And then in the same breath say that they're witches and warlocks and then go and spread it around everybody else. And then took $1,000 of your money.
My God.
God said, I cause our life to happen because I want to know how you respond. Do you become bitter? Do you become hateful? Do you become revengeful? Do you get angry at the ministry and just want to give up? Oh, there's been times my husband and I looked at each other and we said, you know what? Jesus, you can about keep this whole thing. We're okay. I'm fine with going back to corporate America. Many times my husband in the beginning was like, are you serious, Lord? Because we've been through things before. But when you step into leadership role, God lets it rain down on you.
Yes, it's even more.
Some people are silly. They're fools in my eyes. They think they've been through warfare. I've had a tough childhood. I've been molested. I have been through divorces. I know what it's like not to have food. I know I'm called to the ministry. We say, yeah. Everybody has a testimony. Half the people on the line now can tell me something horrible that's happened to them in their life. I said, but get ready to get it turned up when you step into a full ministry mode, because then you're stepping into a higher ranking of warfare, and it all comes at once. All comes at once. How I try not to get into a car accident and in the same time have identity theft, and then at the same time somebody comes against you and threatens to tear up your whole ministry. Then at the same time the enemy creeps in your marriage and you all thinking like, what in the world? Is it divorce time? I mean, at the same time, but yet God still calls you to preach and empower other people when you're hurting on the inside.
My Lord.
Right.
So what am I saying? It's time to be strong. Time to identify people from afar off. What are we teaching this for? It isn't for my health. I've already obtained this knowledge. I'm already going for a qualifying and disqualifying who has access to my presence. I test people by their actions. My husband does as well. Just because you say you love me does not grant you access to me. There's many people that say they love one another and then at the same breath, they're backstabbing, they're cheating, they're leaving, they're being disloyal. So love, and tell me that you love me, really doesn't move me at all. Just tell you the truth. It's good to hear it. I get it. I'm great. You know, thank you. I love you too. I'll say it back. But my real way of testing your love for me is how do you implement what I teach? If you've been with this ministry for weeks, even few months, years definitely, I should see some type of change in your life. Why? Because not what I'm preaching, because a prayer ideology doesn't work. I'm not effective at all. But what I teach, that's what makes this ministry work, because what we teach is the Word of God. The Word of God will change you. The Word of God will bring you and point you through the path of prosperity.
Amen.
God loves you. I always say this. There's two parts to the Word of God. Two parts to the Word of God. There's the person of Jesus, and then there's the principle of Jesus. There's the love of Jesus, and there's the law of Jesus, the law of the Word of God. And oftentimes, we get confused. The love of Jesus prepares us for the eternal life, eternity. But the law of Jesus, the law of the Word of God, it prepares us for prosperity here on earth.
Yes.
A lot of you all are living in the law of Jesus. And you're trying to bring forth transformation from that alone. But that's why you refuse to receive your breakthrough. That's why you're not seeing the result. That's why it seems like year after year you're not going anywhere, because you're ignoring the law or the principles of the Word of God. That actually, see, the Lord, He'll bless us. He'll love us. He'll bless us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And He loves us. But along with that, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. But there has to be some type of contingency that we come up on our end. We have to abide by certain laws to point us on the path for prosperity. What is prosperity? Anything that you want to do. Prosperity is any increase. Prosperity could be being able to afford to go to the grocery store. Prosperity could be that new job. Prosperity could be having the children that you desire, getting married. Prosperity is anything. It's finances, all of the above. God wants us to have prosperity, but He doesn't guarantee us to have prosperity. Do you get that? God wants and desires us to have prosperity, but it is not guaranteed that we will have it. Because one thing about God, and this is how a lot of us get misconstrued, we think it's just going to happen and fall out of the sky in our lap. But you have to qualify for it. Every decision we make points us on the path of prosperity or points us on the path of poverty. If you don't know how to recognize a fool, if you don't know how to get rid of foolish behavior in your own life, if you yourself don't know how to change from being a fool into a person that's quest for wisdom, you are on the path of poverty. If you're a person that does not like to read, if you're a person that does not see the value in acquiring knowledge, you will be destroyed. There is no hope for you. And not because I said it, get angry. If you're going to get angry at Hosea 4 and 6, where he says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
Amen.
If you really want to get angry, it might be cutting you, some of you all, because you're like, man, because somebody taught you an erroneous doctrine. Oh, you can live any kind of way as long as you just want a miracle. God's going to give you the miracle. Oh, you can cuss them out. You can still drink. You can intentionally treat your neighbor bad. It doesn't matter because God loves you. So they preach God loves you, but they don't preach the message of the law, of the principle, and how we have to be accountable to how we live. That's why we teach so hard about recognizing a fool. Because if you stay a fool, or if you don't recognize fools that come in your life, because the Bible guarantees that a fool is destructurous, because the Word of God even says, those that lack knowledge are destroyed, guess what? They'll end up destroying you. And you wonder why. See, that's why we post what we post on Facebook. We say you're so quick to get married because, ooh, I can't help it. So you want to be greatly sexed. But then when the sex wears off in about a few months, now you realize that you married a fool and why your life is destroyed. Can't save, the money, the budget is all over the place. He can't keep a job. He's lazy. You realize other than sex, he's a pig. You realize, oh, my gosh, she's lazy. She doesn't want to have kids. She don't comb her hair. All the other stuff starts to come into the picture. And wonder why. She's rash at the mouth, always fussing with my mom. All of that type of stuff. The man is saying about the woman is saying about the man. You wonder why. Because decisions are made foolishly. Let me finish this up. Any conversation with a fool should be avoided. I think that's self-explanatory. You can write down Proverbs 26 and 4. Proverbs 26 and 4. Any conversation with a fool should be avoided. Let's get to the other one. A fool perpetuates his offenses to others around him. He wants others, or she wants others, to feel their pain. So they arouse an army of protesters against someone who offends them rather than exhibiting a desire to settle the offense. In other words, when you have an offense, foolish people, I hope there's none of you all on here, somebody offended you. Instead of being a man or a woman and going to that person face-to-face, you want to call them out on Facebook indirectly. You want to get on the phone and start talking to other people saying, you know what, I'm just so angry right now. And they say, woo, well, you know they're going to ask you, why are you so angry?
Amen.
This just happened today, and I just feel like that is just so bad and so mean. I think that was just ignorant of them. So what happens is you're not telling the full story, and so then that person that you're talking to has a bias towards you because you told them how you were the victim. So this is why I tell people, and I just shake my head, when people are ranting and raving on Facebook, we're so foolish, we just press like. We've had people come against us, call us out indirectly on their posts, and other people that support this ministry and just got to saying they love me like that other person's post. And we look back and we say, if that fool would have recognized that they're actually talking about us, where they pay their they're talking, and the person I think on that staff is saying, you know, I thank God for the church that I just left. They're witches, they're warlocks, and blah, 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 blah. And then a person would like their post, like, praise God, you got free from them. There shouldn't, you know, this don't make no sense. May God have judgment on them. And we're looking at them, we say, the person that you're saying may God have judgment on, you just paid your tax to them about 2 days ago.
Jesus.
How stupid is that? How stupid is that? That's why I tell people, don't be so quick to like somebody's post, especially if they dogging somebody else. Matter of fact, when they dog somebody else, I lose respect for you. I lose respect because, number one, what is that going to solve? Just because you put it on Facebook, all you want is attention. If you really was about resolution, if you really were about resolution, you'll be on the phone with me right now. I'm a very easy person to talk to. I'll give you time to talk. I'll let it get it all out, and then I'll have the time to talk, and then you'll understand my position a little bit better, and I'll understand your position a little bit better. That's how real adults get it through. Everybody on the phone, if I have something that I didn't quite understand, I'll call you up and say, talk to me about this. I give you my number. You can reach out to my husband and I. So I have no respect for anybody that just goes to Facebook and rants and raves, whether it's about your mom or whether it's about your child, all of that. For what? We are ambassadors. We're now taking the attention off of what God can do, and we're not placing it on how God doesn't do it. Anytime you highlight attention, anytime you highlight any type of quarrel, anytime you highlight how somebody has dishonored or blah, 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 basically, you're bringing attention to that.
No edification.
No edification. Now, if you're highlighting it and you're bringing it as an example and you're letting people know this is how not to do it, I mean, you're bringing a lesson with it, you're bringing some type of scripture with it, you're giving strategy on how to avoid it, cool. But for the most part, it's just emotionalism. Just emotionalism. So if a fool perpetuates his offenses to others around them and they start getting a tally, because what happens is they know they're wrong. So if they put it on Facebook, then what happens, they interpret all those likes and those comments as people that's on their side. And it helps them feel better about coming against a man or woman of God. And you just help that. You just edified them. Thanks a lot. So I hope none of you all are doing that. But never, let's go to the last one, and then I'm finished. Second to the last one. A fool refuses to admit his mistakes even when his pain is obvious result. That's kind of similar to the last one. Mm-hmm. They made a mistake. They know they shouldn't have come against us. They know they shouldn't have come against any man or woman of God. They shouldn't have been dishonorable. They made a mistake. But instead of coming humbly and admitting, they let their pain act out in disobedience. You got to be careful of people like that. You got to be careful of that in you. When you get hurt, how do you react? Do you let your pain act out as disobedience and rebelliousness against God's word? Skip about me and my husband, about God's word. God said, come unto me, all those that are heavy, heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So you hurt. God said, come to me when you hurt. Don't run away. Come to me. So when you get hurt, what do? Do you run from God? You so hurt you can't even kneel down and pray? You let pride build up. So you act out. I'm just so angry. Oh, I can't get a break in this life. I'm going to grab me a bottle of Hennessy. I'm going to just go out. I don't even care anymore. I'm going to call him up and see if we want to go on a date, even though you know the end result would be sex. So you're just going to go out and commit fornication. You're going to go out and just start hormoning. You're going to go out and abuse your body. What do you do? You say in your heart, I'm angry towards you, God, because you allowed this to happen. I can't find a break. Well, it's not God. God said, I don't change. If I told you my word, then I'm going to supply your need by his glory through Jesus Christ. If he said that I'm going to supply your needs, all things work together for the good of them, the love of the Lord. If he said I'm the strong tower which the righteous run into, and I say, if he promised all of this in the word of God, he's not going to lie. But it must be something on your end that you're doing that's not allowing God, giving him the authorization to come in and protect you, to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's something you must be doing that's blocking or barricading and giving God not the authority to come in and save you. I don't understand why people want to blame God. God said, I'm the same yesterday, forever, today, and forevermore. God said, I am not a God that should lie, nor the man or the son of man that needs to repent. I don't change. I place my word above my name. So I'm going to be consistent. So if there's something inconsistent in your life, perhaps it might be on your end. The last one. A fool refuses to reach for counsel from accessible champions. What is a champion? Somebody that's successful. Bingo. I always tell people, you can learn two ways in this life, either through mentors or mistakes, either through people or pain. Go ahead, do it on your own if you want to. I'll see you when you fall down. Go ahead and do it on your own. You think you got it all. I mean, we can't help people like that. I mean, we've had people come to us and ask us about something, my husband and I counsel them, and then literally when we counsel them and told them the strategy, what God is saying, well, that's okay, I'm going to just try it like this. We say, well, apparently you got it together. May it be well with you. God never destined for you to be alone. No man is an island to himself. That's what the Word of God says. God wants you to seek out accessible mentors, champions. What is it that you need in your life, and who is a champion in that area? You want growth and development? You want more wisdom? Well, find somebody who got a lot of wisdom. Find somebody who has a creed and a specialty. Their distinct difference is helping people grow in spiritual development. And if they're accessible, pursue them. You are a fool if you refuse to pursue.
Amen.
Recognition of a fool will enable you. Recognition of a fool will enable you to avoid 1,000 heartbreaking experiences in your life. There's no doubt that I've avoided thousands upon thousands from the time I started pursuing wisdom until today, years, because I chose to let the Holy Spirit open up my spiritual ear gate and my spiritual eye gate. I chose to seek out successful mentors. We sought out Dr. T.L. Lowry. We sought out David Herzog. We sought out Kat Kerr. We sought out, and by reading, guess what? You can have mentors by reading, too. We read many books by champions. We read many books by champions, women and female, in the faith and out of the faith, just champions in different areas that we needed growth and development. And because we sought after them and we read their books, and we wanted to learn all there is to know, it taught us how to avoid certain heartache. It taught us what to look for. It taught us how to be strong. It taught us to have wisdom and a sharpened eye, an eagle eye. It taught us to be sensitive to discernment. So when the Lord tells us about an individual, we got to believe it. Even though we don't see, you know, natural eye might say, God, really? But they look so harmless. They seem so sincere. He said, you want to try it? Go ahead. See if I'm wrong, but I'm never wrong. So we listened to the Holy Spirit, even when it didn't even seem like it was going to happen. But sure enough, the Lord avoided many, many heartbreaks because of the fact that we listened to the spirit of discernment rather than our natural capability. So how did we do that? We were accessible. We pursued accessible champions. So same with you. If you have people in your life, some of you all are even under this ministry. We are champions. There's a lot that we know, a lot of strategies, a lot of questions we can give you to ask, a lot of things we can give you that will equip you for success and for a relationship. There are certain questions. I love questions. Jesus loved questions. He loved questions so much that he even answered questions with questions. Some of you all, if you ask certain questions before you enter into a romantic relationship, it will save you heartbreak. You'll be able to qualify, disqualify them even before they even get your number. Wow, that would have saved you so much heartache probably. If you learn how to ask the right questions, you'll be able to find out what's going on with your child, and so you don't get surprised when they end up pregnant at the age of 12 or 13 or 16 and repeat the cycle. If you learn how to ask questions, you'll be able to learn what is the best decision for your family financially, budget-wise. You ask the right questions, even in a job interview. You'll decide if that's the job that you need to take. We'll give you questions. We'll give you questions to ask yourself, to learn your distinct difference, to learn your dominant weakness, to learn your dominant strength. We'll give you questions to ask people who want to be platonic, friendship. You'll qualify people who will really be a true friend, and you can have a friend for a lifetime, just like Jonathan and David. You'll have true friendship. It's possible. Even in this world of big betrays, you can have a real solid friendship. But the Bible says you must first find yourself friendly. Maybe you're not attracting any friends, but you yourself are mean. You yourself is not considered friendly. I only go by what the Word of God says. The same God that says that he forgives me for my sins, if I don't believe that, then I can't believe nothing else. So if I do believe it, if I do believe that God forgives me for my sins, we can be real strong in our faith. Ooh, God forgives me. Because it feels good to be forgiven. It feels good to know that he, when he throws away our sins into the depth of the sea and separates our sins from the east and the west, literally, we can believe and have faith for that. It feels good to know it's separated from us and we don't have to be condemned by our sins. But then it's amazing how we don't trust God in other areas of the Word of God. We don't trust him to show us how to build good friendships in the Word of God. We don't trust him how to show us how to have a successful financial budget in the Word of God. We don't trust him when he talks about pay your tithes for real. And now he considers you a thief and a robber. Oh, God is forgiven. He doesn't do that. You know, God's just playing. He's just saying, when I can't afford it, I can pay tithes. No, that's not what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't trust God to help us in other areas of our life besides just forgiving, because we mess up often. So we love the comfort and the love of Jesus, because remember I said the love of Jesus prepares us for eternity. So when we know that God has forgiven us, we still got a good chance of getting into heaven. But we ignore the law of Jesus. We ignore the principles of the Word of God. And you wonder why a breakthrough doesn't happen in your life consistently. You wonder why you don't have the prosperity that you desire. There are certain laws that you've been disobeying. Poverty and shame should come to those that refuse it.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.